Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
I believe we're in for something pretty special in the next few moments. All right, we have the honor, and it is an honor, to hear from a teacher and a preacher that has incredible authority and anointing. And his name is Robert Ferguson, and he is based in Hillsong, based in Sydney, but he travels all across the Hillsong churches around the globe, and he preaches phenomenal messages. I mean, I've seen him in one weekend speak in four locations, six different messages, every one a unique message. And he is a preaching and teaching machine. And let me let you into a little secret. He normally only preaches in a church outside of Hillsong once a year. Only once a year he does it. But we have the opportunity and the privilege of having him preach into Soul Church today. And that's partly because Pastors John and Chantel have built a relationship with him over 20 years. And for the last 3 years before we left Australia, Rachel and I had the honor of sitting down with him once a month. And let me tell you, you'll see a man of authority and power when he preaches, but off the platform, he is loving, gentle, caring. He's interested in people, interested in the one. So this really is an honor for us. So I would encourage you, come on, get out your iPhone if you make notes that way, or grab your Bible, get ready to make notes, and let's welcome the one and only Pastor Robert Ferguson as he brings the word to us.
Well, hello, you wonderful people in Soul Church in Norwich. It is such an honor and a privilege for me to speak to you today. Thank you, John and Chantel, for this opportunity to speak to your church. We're missing you guys, and no doubt there's going to be a few months, if not years, but before we see you again. And of course, the Morstons, we're missing you as well. Well, most of you in Soul Church have never met me. I've never been to your church, but let me just give you a bit of a background. I'm actually, as you can tell by my accent, originally from England. First half of my life, I lived in England, down in the south near Salisbury and then in Nottingham. And for the last 30 years, have been based here in Sydney, Australia, where I'm speaking to you from as one of the team at Hillsong Church. So, huge honor. I love speaking in different contexts and different situations. And I know your situation has been really tough this year. All the world is going through a tough year, but in England, currently, you're in lockdown again. You've faced all manner of traumas, all manner of difficulties. So what do I say as an outsider into your church, into your life, into your situation? Well, first and foremost, God knows your narrative. God knows your story. God knows your situation. He knows the pain you're going through. He knows your challenges. He knows your difficulties. And the same God that you serve in your situation is the same God we serve in ours. And he speaks to me and he speaks to you. And I believe he has spoken to me about your situation right now. So I'm going to bring a message that I believe, whatever your circumstances or situation, is going to inspire you, it's going to help you, it's going to encourage you. And I'm going to pray to that end, and then we're going to get right into this message. But if you're taking notes, and I recommend that you do, always a good idea to get a Bible, take notes, make sure that I'm speaking the truth. And if you're taking notes, either on your phone or on a piece of paper, put at the top of your paper, "Don't forget that you are human." That's the title of this message. Don't forget that you are human. Well, with that in mind, let's pray, and we're going to get right into this. Father God, thank you for the privilege and opportunity to speak to this great church. Thank you for the leaders. I pray that you'll give them grace and wisdom in this time. Thank you for every person that I'm speaking to right across that beautiful part of England. And I pray, Father, that through this message, you will speak to every soul, every person, every story, in the name of Jesus. And everyone in your different situations said, Amen. Well, before I moved to Australia, in the 80s, I used to have many opportunities to go to Indonesia. I worked with a friend of mine who had been a missionary in Indonesia, and we would travel together all around Java and other parts of Indonesia. And to be honest, I poured my heart and soul into those trips. We would start at a pace and move faster. I would preach all day, many times on one day. We would travel backwards and forwards across the nation, and I would get absolutely exhausted. And on one occasion, I remember arriving after a long trip in a place that I couldn't pronounce, desperate for a quick snooze. And I said to my friend, let's just go to sleep for 20 minutes before lunch, and then we will be ready for the afternoon. Well, both of us went to sleep at around about lunchtime, and we both woke up 7 hours later. We were exhausted. Well, that was just the beginning of my trouble. A few days later, on a Sunday morning, I woke up and I was so weary, so exhausted, so downcast. It felt as though a weight had fallen on me that I literally found it impossible to get out of bed. So I rolled out of bed, crawled across the room to get my Bible, because I thought if I could just get my Bible, I would be okay. And lying on the floor, I read my daily reading, which was Psalm 42, verses 5 to 6. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. What I had done in those days of travel and hard work is that I'd forgotten that I was human. I was pushing myself physically. I was pushing myself emotionally. I was pushing myself spiritually until I collapsed. Can I just encourage you? That is not a good way to live. If you're tired, go to sleep, as I did. But if you're weary, you need to get new vision. You need to get new incentive. You need to have some wisdom and principles. And that's what this message hopefully will bring you. So if you are tired, shut your eyes. If you are weary, open them. I hope you're opening your eyes to hear me as I share this message, so that whatever your situation, God will speak into your circumstance. What we need to understand is that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 to 24 says this: May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Our trust needs to be in his strength, not in our strength. But notice what it says: may your whole spirit, soul, body be made whole. We often say body, soul, and spirit, and we put all the emphasis on the body first, doing our exercises, and then our soul, and finally our spirit. But the Bible says, put them in the other order. Spirit first, your relationship with God first. Out from that will come your soul, and from that will come your physical health and your physical fitness. But can I just be honest with you? In many churches, and of course, I'm not saying yours particularly, but many churches, we're not bad at the spirit side of things. We're not very good at the body side of things, and we're hopeless at the soul side of things. That's what was happening to me in Indonesia. I was praying, but my soul was empty. I was working, but my body was falling to bits. Well, I believe there is a key here in Psalm 42 that is going to help us. But before I come to Psalm 42, Wayne Cordero, in his book Leading on Empty, which many of us do, says this: we don't forget that we are Christians. We forget that we are human, and that one oversight alone can debilitate the potential of our future. I forgot that I was human. And in your challenging year, I don't want you to forget that you are human. You need to look after yourself, spirit, soul, and body. Well, on that day in Indonesia, as I lay on the ground in that room, desperate, downcast, and read Psalm 42, God gave me some keys, which I've been applying ever since, and I applied that day. In fact, I changed my message that morning to preach on Psalm 42. And I'm going to share some of those ideas with you from Psalm 42. So if you have a Bible, open it up to Psalm 42, and I'm sure it will be on your screens as well. But let me just read it to you. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? That could be our story this year. These things I remember as I pour out to my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, lead in the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. That's us in this season, isn't it? We used to go to church and we used to join and be encouraged by other people. But now he says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? And then he tells us to do three things. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Well, I'm going to talk about those three things. But first, can I talk about four things about the soul, about the very core of your being, the part of your life from which you make decisions, from which you choose, from which you feel, from which you think, your soul. If you don't get your soul right, your choosing and your thinking and your feelings will be completely up the creek. Even if you feel, even if you're spiritually okay, if your soul is empty, then you will not be as healthy as you should. And your soul starvation will affect your spirit and will affect your body. So, four things about the soul that this passage teaches. The first is the soul needs sustenance. It says, my soul thirsts. You need to maintain it. You need to feed it. 3 John and verse 2 says, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. If your soul is getting well, both in your life and in the life of the church, the soul of the church, then other aspects of your life will go well as well. C.S. Lewis said this: a soul is like the body. Deny it food and it will eat poison. My brother is a keen gardener, and he went out into his garden in New Zealand recently, and he was looking for some taro, that root vegetable that you can eat. But instead of eating taro, he ate ornamental taro, which is highly poisonous. And after frothing at the mouth, he was rushed off to hospital, and they told him that ornamental taro must not be touched. In fact, if you look it up, it's called the heart of Jesus, strangely, ironically. And in the website, it says, if you eat the heart of Jesus, you'll be begging for mercy. I told him that over the phone. He wasn't pleased. Now, he survived. But that's what we do. We're looking for real food in the scriptures, but we go and get ornamental food from the podcasts, from the gossip, from the man next door who is giving you poor advice. We need to look after our soul. The second thing is that a soul needs discipline. We need to exercise it. Your soul needs exercising, just like your body needs exercising. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 46, Mary says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." We can exercise our soul through praise, through prayer. We need to put it through its paces and exercise it. So firstly, we need to feed it the right food. Secondly, we need to exercise it. And then thirdly, from this passage, the soul needs interrogation. Here is the psalmist speaking to his soul. "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disquieted within yourself? What's going on?" That's what you should do. You should handle your soul. Psalm 77 verse 2 says that sometimes our soul isn't handled well. It says, "When I was in distress, I sought the Lord at night and I stretched out my untiring hands." And listen to this, "my soul refused to be comforted." In other words, you've got to tell your soul, if you want your choosing to be good, your feelings to be good, your thinking to be good, you've got to get your soul in line with the truth of God's word. You've got to speak to it. The great preacher in London, Martin Lloyd-Jones, in the 20th century said this, "I say that we must talk to ourselves instead of allowing ourselves to talk to us." Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? The main art in the matter of spiritual living is to know how to handle yourself. Well, in this tough year, if ever there was a year for you to interrogate your soul, to speak to yourself, not listen to your circumstances, not listen to your feelings, but speak to yourself, this is it. Well, a soul needs sustenance, it needs discipline, it needs interrogation, and fourthly, it needs restoration. He says this, the psalmist, "My soul is downcast, therefore." In other words, we need to submit it to what it needs to submit to, namely the Lord. God is a restorer of our soul. Psalm 23, you know the psalm so well. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What does it say in verse 3? "He restores my soul. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." In this traumatic, chaotic, troublesome year, we need to take this on board. We need to do some walking in some green pastures, some walking beside some still waters to look after our soul. In this season, I've been going on regular walks through the park when I'm allowed to do so, because I want to feed my soul intentionally. In fact, my daughter, who suffered from hay fever for many years, she saw this scripture and thought, "Well, I suffer from hay fever, so how can I possibly walk in green pastures?" So she decided to get a job in a florist so that she could prove the scripture true, and she got healed as a result. So you need to actually do what the Bible says. And then verse 3, "He will restore your soul." God wants to restore you. He is a restorer. Do the right thing. Exercise your spirit. Exercise your soul. Exercise your body. And you will find that you are whole, body, soul, and spirit, so that God can receive the glory. All right, so four things about the soul that we have established. Now, what does it tell us to do? What did I actually do as I lay feeling downcast on that Indonesian floor? Well, three things. It says in Psalm 42, verses 4-5, number one, put your hope in God. Number two, praise him. Number three, remember him. Ultimately, these three tools, these three things are essential for the exercise of your soul, for the health of your soul. And I just want to go through them quickly and just encourage you. Don't forget you're human. You need to look after yourself. Well, the first is hope. The first is hope. There's one thing that you can't live without, and that is hope. In this year, many people have become despairing. They've become hopeless. We need to be that much more conscientious about receiving hope. But how are we going to receive hope? Where are we going to get hope from? Well, Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, one of my favorite scriptures, says, "May the God of hope fill you full of joy and peace so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." God is a God of hope. He wants to pour hope into your life. He wants to give you a confident expectation of good things to come. That's my hope. That's what hope is. I've not seen this year, challenging though it is, as a threat. I've seen it as an opportunity. My hope is renewed because God is a God of hope. But also notice what it said in Romans 15, 13, that we overflow with hope. In other words, we can be sources of hope for people. People who are despairing see our lives, or should see our lives, and gain hope, gain enthusiasm, gain passion for the future. 2021 is going to be a new and different and hope-filled year because our hope has not diminished. But we've got to put our hope in God, place our hope. And the more we connect with God, the more we'll receive hope. Romans 15 and verse 4, same chapter, different verse, says this: "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." This is the time to make sure that we read the Bible. Don't back off your spiritual devotion, because not only will it feed your spirit, it's going to feed your soul. You're going to have new hope because God is a God of hope and we need to overflow with hope. So that's what I did on the floor. I put my hope in God. I cast my problems on him because he cares for me. I took his yoke from him so that what I was wearing was I was able with my strength to wear. And I'm not trying to wear his yoke. I'm wearing my yoke. All right. First thing, hope. Second thing, praise. I think sometimes, especially when people are divorced from community and stuck at home listening online, they've forgotten the power of praise. He said, "I will praise him," in Psalm 42, "my Savior and my God, what he has done for me and who he is." Praise, Hebrews 13 says, pleases God. But it does more than please God. It silences the enemy. Psalm 8 and verse 2 says, "God has ordained praise from the lips of children and infants in order to silence the foe and the avenger." Sometimes in these tough seasons, the enemy just speaks into our mind and fills it with all manner of conspiracy theories and all manner of anxieties and doubts. And we need to praise God. When my children were little, they're now adults, but when they were little, I heard them just making a huge noise upstairs in their bedroom. And I ran upstairs to tell them to be quiet and go to sleep. And they were literally jumping up and down on their beds, praising God. One was about six, the other was about four. And I said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "We are telling the devil to shut his mouth." I thought, how cool is that? They understood God had ordained praise from the lips of children to shut the devil's mouth, to silence the foe. But praise doesn't just please God and silence the enemy. Praise strengthens you. That same verse, Psalm 8 and verse 2, that is translated slightly differently in the New Testament, when the children praise God in Matthew chapter 21 as they're going into Jerusalem, rejoicing at the king. That scripture is quoted and says God has ordained praise from the lips of children, but it says God has ordained strength. Can I just encourage you that if you praise God, you will receive strength, physical, emotional, spiritual strength. And even if you're on your own, you can lift your hands and praise God because he is always worthy. So it pleases God, it strengthens you, it silences the enemy, but also it attracts people. Psalm 40 and verse 3 says, when you bring a new song to God, Psalm 40 and verse 3, when you bring a new song to God, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in him. Your neighbor's going to see you with a new enthusiasm, a new passion, and they're saying, what is it about you that's different? Well, let me tell you. So hope, praise, and remembrance. Can I just encourage you that remembrance is one of the keys to a healthy soul? As you go through the scripture, you will find God setting up festivals for the people to remember. He set up memory paths, memory devices, all manner of memorials to get them to remember. Humanity has the capacity to forget. We've been out of normal fellowship for a year and we forget what it's like. But you've got to remember. I said I've been walking around the park each day and I'm purposefully doing it, intentionally doing it, walking around memory paths. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 25 tells us that we have the best memory device. It's called communion. Jesus said, take the bread, take the cup of wine, remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. Can I just encourage you? Perhaps more than ever, take communion in the last few days. I have been taking communion each day, looking out of one of my windows, taking communion, remembering. Why? Because I want my soul to be right. So don't forget you're human. In this tough, difficult season, look after your body, look after your soul, look after your spirit. Because if your soul is empty, you will have nothing to offer Soul Church. But if your soul is full, you'll be overflowing with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, not your disciplines. It's connecting with God. God is a restorer of your soul. In your desire to serve him, in your desire to preach like I was preaching in Indonesia, don't damage your body, don't damage your spirit, don't damage your soul. Your job is to look after yourself so that you can serve him faithfully in the years to come. And can I just say this as I draw this to a conclusion? I don't know your situation. I don't know your story, but I want to ask you a question. Do you know this Jesus that I'm talking about? I'm not saying, do you listen to church? Clearly you do. I'm saying, do you have a real, personal, current relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you don't, you can. And when you do, he comes into your life and he causes your spirit to come alive to God. He causes your soul to be renewed, and he even comes to dwell in your body. He makes you whole. How does he do it? By forgiving you, by changing you, by giving you his power. Who would not want that in their lives? Maybe you're listening today and you're thinking, well, I don't have that kind of a relationship. Well, all you got to do is to pray a prayer. And I'm going to pray a prayer with you wherever you are. And if you just pray this prayer, this can be the first step in an amazing journey of serving God. Why don't you say with me, oh Lord Jesus Christ, today I realize I need you. Please come into my life. Change me, forgive me, turn my life around. From now on, you are now my King, my Lord, my God, my rescuer. With your help, I will follow you. Thank you, Jesus, that everything changes from today. Amen. Wow. Well, if you prayed that prayer, give yourself a clap. And can I just encourage you to tell the church there, tell the leadership there, tell the team there, I prayed that prayer. And as for the rest of us, please in this tough season. Don't forget you're human. The people who prayed the prayer, the team will help you in the next step. But all of us need to look after ourselves so that we can help other people. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
What incredible lines in that song. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. But God loves you so much, friend. And if you did make that decision, you prayed that prayer, wherever you are, then please let us know. You can tell us in the chat, and some of our team will connect with you. You can fill in a form there, and it comes straight to us so that we can call you and encourage you. And, you know, let someone know, and we just want to help you. One of the ways we can help you is by showing you how to download the Bible. And once you get that online, we call it YouVersion. Man, just reading that, it's going to help you, because you need to download it every day into your soul, just as Pastor Robert said. And then, of course, if you want to keep walking forward in your spiritual life, then keep tuning into our church. We'd love to keep depositing God's word. Wasn't that a brilliant message? Come on, did you enjoy Pastor Robert? Why don't we show him some love in the chat as well? Let him know just how much you appreciate. Why not share that link with the people in your world? Let them know. Because how many know people need to be strong spiritually and in their soul? Don't allow your soul to get weak. So there was great practical advice. And what a great, great message.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.